All right, John, fair to say dropshipping has been declared dead at least 1,000 times in the last 5 years?
Sure has.
All right, the word dropshipping has been dragged through the mud, right? There's been no shortage of people standing next to their rented Lambos, telling you to run Facebook ads to AliExpress products. People hear that word now and they assume a scam. But honestly, that's not what dropshipping actually is. John, how do you explain dropshipping simply to people?
Yeah, there's a simple explanation to it. And this is what people completely get wrong, right? So dropshipping is simply a method of fulfillment, right? That's it. That's it. So a customer places an order with an e-commerce business, and it could be any e-commerce business because a dropshipping business is an e-commerce business. And instead of the product shipping from a warehouse that the person who runs the website runs, it ships directly from a manufacturer or a supplier or a distributor. So you don't touch the product, it goes straight to the customer. And that's the whole thing. That's what dropshipping is. It's literally how product A gets from point A to point B. It has nothing to do with how the product is sold. It has nothing to do with customer service or anything, or marketing or anything like that. It's simply how one product moves from here to there, and that's it. So literally, this happens everywhere. This happens on Amazon. It happens on Walmart. It happens on Target. It happens on Home Depot. Literally, all of the big retailers you know have products that are sold on their online platform that are dropshipped. So you've literally, if you're watching this, you have literally, probably regularly, are buying products that are dropshipped and you don't even know it.
I think it's crazy that one small business model got assigned this entire term. It has to be the most misunderstood term in all of a business, really. All right, so I took a bunch of notes here on Wayfair. Do you know Wayfair's origin story?
Yeah, I do. I do, for sure. It's been a while since I heard it, but, you know, it's... started with basically a couple of guys in their home or one of their homes or something like that. And they started a number of dropshipping businesses. And there's obviously a longer story here, but over time, those businesses ended up being combined into one. And that's essentially the business that we know as Wayfair today.
Yeah, I took a bunch of notes here. So two college buddies from Cornell start a company in 2002 out of one of their houses in Boston. The company historically actually called itself a nursery. I don't really understand that. The name of the business was CSN Stores, so just their initials. Their first website was racksandstands.com, which I believe if you search that still forwards to Wayfair. They sold audio racks and TV stands. And by the end of 2002, 4 months in, that one site had done $250,000 in sales. So they bought another domain and another. Simply dogbeds.com was one. JustShagRugs.com was one, DinnerPlates.com, Cookware.com, AllBarStools.com, which I remember that one actually. Every niche they could think of. So each one was its own site, each one selling expensive home stuff, none of it sitting in a warehouse. The model was pure dropshipping and suppliers held the inventory. CSN just ran the storefront and the customer service. That's it.
Yep. And so literally in 2026 today, like we have a course, we have a program, a coaching program, and a course that teaches people not quite exactly that. It's a little bit different these days in terms of what you put on your site, but it's basically the same thing still.
And you preach no home goods, right? So there's a big difference there, right? You don't sell anything away for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that, there's a ton. There are literally thousands of other things that you can sell. But yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be where I would start today, but the way they went about it with those early ones is entirely still how you can start a business today.
So it gets crazy, right? So by 2006, they're 4 years in, they've done $100 million in sales. By 2011, they had over 240 different dropshipping sites, which just seems bananas to me. They're all bootstraps. 9 years in, no outside money. There was just two guys running the portfolio, right? So 2003 revenue, $7.7 million. By 2011, they were doing over $500 million in revenue, all dropshipping, all without taking a dime of outside capital until the very end. Then 2011 happens. They take their first real round. They raise $165 million from VCs and they consolidate everything. 240 plus sites rolled into one brand, which we now know as Wayfair. They then IPO'd in 2014 on the New York Stock Exchange. And here's the kicker, they still dropship today. So I actually pulled their 2025 annual report from the SEC filed 3 months ago. Direct quote, "Our primary method of fulfillment is a dropship network." So this is their words, not mine, not some journalist. That's Wayfair telling the SEC and the public, this is how we do business. So you can go verify this yourself on sell.wayfair.com right now. They have 20,000 suppliers, 40 million products, 21 million active customers, all running on a drop shipping network. And I think anyone who's heard drop shipping is a scam, like if they just heard this, they might change their tune.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when you look into who's actually saying that drop, like there's a lot of people out there who say drop shipping's dead and all of that sort of thing. And that connotation does come from a particular group of people that were saying particular things about dropshipping in the past. But the people who say that, and you see it on Facebook ads and things like this, dropshipping's dead, blah, blah, blah. There's always a, but do this instead on the end, right? As in, oh, and I've got this other, like PDF dropshipping. Like, come on, man. And it's like the minute somebody said dropshipping's a scam or dropshipping doesn't work, to me, they're immediately outing themselves as an idiot. Like, I'm just going to get straight to it. Like, people who say that are literally dumb as fuck, and they're admitting that they don't have the mental capacity to sit down and understand how business works. Like, straight out. Like, if you see somebody saying that online, like, just immediately unfollow. That's a stupid person. I'll challenge anyone to this. I would have anyone on this show who has that opinion, and I would destroy them in about 3 seconds. Like, destroy them. Make them look retarded. Easy. Case closed.
We're early, and so you don't get any feedback on podcasts, but I've gotten from a few people that this right here, this little piece from John, is their favorite part of every show. Thank you, John, for that. We appreciate it very much.
Hey, it's John here. I just wanted to let you know that the Low Bar Pod membership is now live. So if you've been loving the show and you'd love to hang out directly with myself and Ben and a whole bunch of other like-minded individuals to do more fun business stuff, head to lowbarpod.com/join. It's just $9 a month. It's cancel at any time. We can't wait to see you inside.
All right. So the other piece nobody mentions here is that Wayfair, they don't just drop ship. So they actually like launched some of their own brands, right? So, All Modern launched in 2006, Joss & Main in 2010, Birch Lane in 2014, Perigold in 2017, all built on the back of drop shipping. So this is like exactly what we're doing in one of our partner stores right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and this is one of the things this is once again, another thing that people miss about drop shipping, is that because you're actually running an e-commerce business, and I hate saying that dropshipping is a business model because it's not a business model. It's a method of fulfillment. E-commerce is the business model, selling physical products online as a retailer, right? So you're actually running that business, which means while you're dropshipping products, you're gathering like a ton of data, a ton of information about customers, demographics. You're building supplier relationships, which often they're manufacturers as well. So you're meeting people who manufacture the products that you're selling, or you're getting connections to those people. You're understanding what customers want, what's missing from all of the products that are already on the market that customers are buying today, because you're selling them, right? And you're getting reviews. You get so much data that after you've been doing dropshipping for a while and you've been getting paid that whole time as well. You're making sales, you're making profit, you're learning everything, you're getting paid to learn. You can then leverage that data that you've accrued and the experience that you've accrued, and you've already got an inbuilt market research audience, aka all of your existing customers. And in the store we're talking about of our own, we've literally got thousands and thousands of existing customers already that we can go to and say, hey, we know you've bought this type of product. What was missing from it? Like, what do you wish it did? Like, what is it not doing for you? What are you unhappy about with that product? What do you love about that product? You know, what's your favorite features? So that we can then go and say, all right, we're going to come into the market with our own brand that we own, that we get made to our specifications and all of that sort of stuff. So what people traditionally think is e-commerce, and we can launch it to people alongside our existing marketing that we already know works, to a group of people that we already know will buy the product. And that, honestly, is literally the best way to launch your own brand. It's the safest way, right? You know, the route that most people go when they think of e-commerce is, oh, I'm going to come up with a product that I haven't tested. I don't know if anybody actually wants. I've done super limited market research because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. And I'm just going to throw 50K in on that product. From day one, I don't even know how to sell it yet. This is how people get into e-commerce, and this is why people fail regularly. Whereas you can come to launching your own brand already knowing what people want to buy. And that's the direction we're going in. We're bringing a product to market. And, you know, BK, you showed me the list of what we're looking to build into that product. And it's all based off our understanding of the niche and the products and the product category that we've built from dropshipping. So when we bring that product to market, we already know it's something people are going to buy. Like, we literally know there are people that will buy that product. There is no way it doesn't sell. Does it go straight to millions and millions of dollars? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But like, we know that, you know, if we get X amount of these products, we're going to probably move X amount in X amount of time, right? You'd be pretty certain of that based on our data. And that literally, to my mind, this is one of the greatest things about dropshipping. It can help you. If you're somebody who wants to launch your own brand, you know, this can be a pathway to doing it with a lot less risk than just going out straight away and, you know, trying to get stuff manufactured and spend tons of money and finding out, hey, it's not actually what people even want.
Yeah, I've done the other method, right? You can do research on Amazon and look at reviews, and you know, there's a lot of FBA courses that would tell you to copy products or whatever that already work, but you're going to get even better information when you've already retailed all of the best products on the market. You're a retailer for those, and now you hear the complaints, you hear why, you see why people are returning products, what breaks on these. You're getting so much information firsthand that it allows you to just come out with a better product. So I've done this before. We're currently doing it in a partner business. That's exactly what Wayfair did, right? They watched them buy, you listened to what they complained about, and they built it, and they did it multiple times. And I think if you go to any retailer, at least here in America, you can find their own line. Most retailers have their own line. They've all done this too. There's a clear playbook here. And so Wayfair just made it really obvious to me, or more of a specific drop shipping playbook, more of than a brick and mortar store. But we're retailers. In the end, we're the same thing as a brick and mortar store. We're just an online retailer. And so I love this. I don't think I knew all of this information about Wayfair when I did this little deep dive. I grew to like the store even more. I'd like to meet the guys, actually.
Yeah. I think they've been on they've been on a there's a podcast that they've been on that everybody tells me, like, the how I built this or something like that.
Really?
I think they've been on that one. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So there's a podcast they've been on where they break it down a bit. People are always telling me, hey, did you listen to that podcast about Wayfair? I'm like, no, but I should. But yeah, it's a totally good story. And you know, they were even in, when I started my first e-commerce business, they were in Australia at the time. They're not there anymore, but they sold that to somebody else who still runs it as a primarily a drop shipping thing alongside their own products, right? Exactly the same as Wayfair. It just has a different name.
You were right. They were on there in 2018. I love that show. I feel like I've listened to them all, so maybe I have heard it, but some of this was certainly new to me. I'm definitely going to go listen to that episode.
Hey, John here for just a sec. You know how we're always breaking down these wild business ideas and road testing opportunities that other podcasts won't touch? Well, we're growing our own business here, this podcast, and we need your help. So here's the deal. If the Low Bar podcast has given you that holy shit, I can actually do this moment, or just made your commute less boring, help us out. If you're watching on YouTube, go and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, go to our profile page on Spotify and smash that 5-star button. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit the review button and leave us a review. It takes you just 30 seconds, costs you nothing, but helps us reach more people who think starting a business is rocket science, which it's not. And it will also give us the momentum we need to do even more fun and crazy business stuff right here for your entertainment. We love to keep it real with you. Now keep it real with us. Let's grow this thing together.
All right, so this is why I'm not worried about drop shipping as a model, right? I literally just launched another store, a new niche from scratch this month. I actually kind of launched it last month. I believe in this model still.
Starting new stores. Exactly what Ben doesn't need to do. He's telling you again. Never learns his lessons.
I did it anyway, but I believe in the model, right? So this one honestly feels a little bit different. I picked it, you know, I've kind of talked about this on a previous podcast. I picked it because my son, he's a level 2 autistic. This category hits home in other ways, right? Like I actually feel like I'm serving my son in this one. So this one hits home. But you know, it's certainly, John has bitched at me for having no time on this podcast. This is your opportunity to tell me I have no time once again, I think.
Yeah, you know it. I don't even need to tell you anymore.
The beauty of this one, though, is like, and I know this is quickly becoming our favorite subject on this podcast, is AI. Like, I'm actually like leaning into AI a lot more on this one. You know, I hadn't built a store from scratch since probably 2020, early 2020 or late 2020. You know, I built one with my buddy here, but it was different back then, right? Online store 2.0 for Shopify was not out. Things were much more challenging, I would say. And now with AI, it's even easier as far as getting some of the things done that can be more labor intensive on a startup business like that. So, you know, on-page content, supplier email drafts, customer service templates, product descriptions, collection descriptions. Honestly, the biggest thing for me has been just I get stuck on a screen of like, where is this setting? I don't even know what I'm changing here. And I'll just literally take a screenshot, drag it into Claude and go, what? And it'll tell me exactly what I need to fix in there. And so I don't think it's helping me actually start the business as far as like telling me what to do to make money online, but it is helping me get through the minutia and the stuff that honestly, I think that's what really holds people back. It's not like, hey, I can't figure out what products to sell or who I want to sell to. It's more like I'm a little worried about the tech, I think is what I hear from mostly people, at least my age, where they're like, I think I know what I'm doing, but I've never done this before. And they probably feel a little bit intimidated. And at this point, you know, you kind of have a little digital helper. Everyone does for $20.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And like, I love to spend time with Claude or ChatGPT or whatever and ask it questions about running e-commerce businesses and drop shipping and see what it says, like, you know, what it tells me to do and things like that. And I think from the running the business perspective, yeah, it's not really that helpful yet because it often gets that stuff wrong. And I can see it gets it wrong based on my own personal experience of doing it for 12 years. But I agree, like there's so many little things that used to be a fairly laborious task to do that it significantly reduced the time commitment, right? If you actually engage with it and use it and think of creative ways that you can use it. So, and look, once again, yeah, letting you do some things that, you know, 8 years ago I would have paid a developer to do. Now I can do it in like, you know, because I'm not a technical person in terms of code or anything like that. Right now I don't have to pay obviously I'm paying a subscription, but you don't have to pay a developer to do pretty much everything that you need to do on one of these stores, at least until you're at much higher levels of revenue. Like there is nothing in the beginning that you need to pay a developer to do anymore for you, like at all. I can't even imagine what I would want to do that I can't do with like Claude or Claude Code now. So yeah, it's cool.
But even if it wasn't a developer, it was hours on YouTube watching, you know, trying to find the right video of somebody to show you how to change the little setting that you want to change, or you know, just moving descriptions down below images in a collection thing, like, you know, it's harder than you think, right? But now you can just, you know, you can ask Shopify Sidekick or you can ask Claude or ChatGPT or whatever, hey, how do I do this? And you know, it'll walk you through setting up meta fields, which, you know, probably the listener here doesn't know what a meta field is, right? And neither did I when I first started this, as far as like how to actually set them up. So I don't know, that's been awesome. But dude, this is what this show is about, is like, to me, what we teach over in our other business is what this show is about. Like, people want to make extra money. And so everything we've done on here is like, how can you go explore something new in business and make extra money? You can start one of these businesses for less than $500. We've outlined it many times on our other show. I don't need to go into it here, but like, you can have the whole process. In fact, I think it's even cheaper now because you can actually put a URL on a $1 Shopify trial for 3 months where you couldn't do that before. So you're barely paying anything for Shopify. You're buying a URL and some, you know, Google Workspace or whatever. And then you're just building and you're calling suppliers and you're uploading products. There's not a lot here until it comes time to run ads. And I think, you know, I've kind of proven this. I had a five product store at one point and I really didn't pay attention to it. And it still made $1,500 a month. And I think there's a ton of people listening to this who like, I can start for $500. I can work on this on weekends or while I'm watching Netflix, you know, put in real work. Don't get wrong. It's work. Everything's fucking work that we talk about on this show. But like, I can make a couple extra $1,000 a month. That would be meaningful to, I think, a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude, the beauty is I've sold a few of these, right? So I've exited some partnerships. I've sold a few of these. You sold one. Is it worth telling that story? What was your exit? When was your exit?
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about the first one, the very first one, which was called Chic Chandeliers, chicchandeliers.com.au. Somebody can probably get a Wayback Machine, and it's there still, I think. One of the versions of it is findable there. I don't think you can see the original version there. It was absolutely terrible. If I look at that on my standards of today of doing this, like, it was like, whoa, shocking. You know what I mean? But I started that business. You know, it did plenty of sales. It did enough sales that it got me out of my, you know, six-figure a year job at the time and replaced my income. And I ran that business for, I think I started in 2014 and I sold it in early 2017. So probably just less than 3 years, I ran that one for, and, I sold it for $300,000. First one, like, once again, you know, what did I do with the money? I invested that money into real estate. you know, which is something I've done, you know, on and off throughout that time since. And so that got me further, my foot in the door further there. And, you know, we put that money into, oh yeah, there we go. Look at that. It's on the screen about us. That's me with long hair there.
Gorgeous.
So you can see selling lights and pendant lights, lamps, wall lights, and outdoor lighting. Oh my God, it looks terrible. So bad. But once again, like I'm sitting here saying this looks terrible, and it does look terrible, right?
It does.
Oh my God. This is like Shopify version one. but it was still a sellable asset then. You know, changing a few things out, not that I probably wouldn't sell that category of products again. Honestly, I kind of wish I didn't sell it in some ways. That's the thing you learn. These are sellable assets. And I think if you've got something that you want to do with a chunk of money, that's a good reason to sell. But they're also cash flowing assets, right? I mean, these businesses, once they're profitable and you've got it up and running, I mean, they're paying you cash every month. There's not a lot of investment. And unless you want to go down the road where you're developing your own products and bringing your own brand to market, obviously you get into that cycle of cash where you've got to put cash into buying product and storing it and, you know, growing that bigger and bigger. But if you're not doing that and you're sticking with dropshipping as your method of fulfillment, like, you know, these businesses just put cash in your pocket every month. And that's a really nice thing to have. As compared to other business models out there that you could start, I think these businesses do it better than any, realistically. And so I do kind of miss selling that. I miss having that. Regret selling it in some ways. I did use the money. And so I don't really regret it. But like, you know, you miss that cash flow when it's gone, right?
Yeah, monthly cash flow is nice. Like there is no overhead, like John said, right? You're getting money every single month, assuming you're profitable, right? And they're real, they're transferable, they're sellable assets, they have value. You can actually go sell these. I've sold a few, John sold a few, and like, it's just not sexy. You're not going to see John or I in our garage standing next to our Lambo. Although I will tell you, I went to Vegas recently and I drove by the Lambo rental place and I was like, I should go film an ad out here, even if it's like counter trend. But we're just regular dudes with families. Like, and that's what everyone listening to this is too. They just want to make some extra money. So we try not to pitch our other stuff, but I'll collaborate with our channel, Dropship Podcast. You can go look it up if you want to listen to it. I'll put some links in the description. You know, that's us tooting our own horn there. If you want to learn this model, we've spoke hundreds of episodes about it on a different channel, but like I wanted to give it its justice on here. And I think it fits our ethos of what Low Bar is meant to be.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Like you say, you can get started for less than $500. You can start one of these businesses. It's literally something anyone can do. Like most of the people that we help to start these businesses, they're working a job, they're working a full-time job, and they're starting these businesses with an hour to 2 hours, let's say 5 days a week. So they're starting these businesses on the side of another business. You don't have to be a rocket scientist, right? Like literally, I wouldn't say everyone, this is the right business for every single person, but like for a very high percentage of people it is. You don't need prior experience. You don't need prior skills. You just need the ability to put in consistent time, a little bit of consistent time most days, and follow the right system and the right plan, and you can make sales. You can at least, you know, make side hustle money. But if you want to go bigger than that, I mean, you can go bigger than that. You know, we've had businesses of this type that have hit 8 figures plus in annual revenue. And so you can go big, like Ben mentioned, like we mentioned, you can launch your own brand into one of these stores and, you know, the sky's kind of the limit with that stuff if you get it right. They can go real big. If you get to that point. So where do you think it's going in the future? I mean, we're saying it's not dead, Ben. And I think as long as people are buying products online, like drop shipping is going to be happening, right? Because it is just a method of fulfillment. So that's the reason why it's not going to die, because it's just a method of fulfillment. It's not even a business model. E-commerce is not going anywhere. People are still going to buy stuff. More people buy stuff online every year. So where do you see it going? Like, presumably some things will change here.
Look, I think in the future, brand will be the main thing that matters. I think everything else will get democratized or commoditized. And so, you know, what we do of teaching people to serve a, you know, a group of people is going to matter more. You're not going to want to be, you know, we own one, Pellet Grill Pros, right? As we use as a demonstration, you're not going to want to be pelletgrillsdirect.com. You're going to want to be, you know, for lack of better words, the barbecue guys. I know that's a real site, but you know, you want to serve a community, right? That's going to come with a website. That's going to come with good ads. That's also going to come with organic content at some point. That's going to come with a lot of stuff. And so I think it's going to be brand in the future. But look, last thing, I'll call it right now, John. I think TikTok Shop and whatnot are about to create the next wave of dropshipping gurus. So before there was Shopify and AliExpress, I actually think it's going to be the same playbook, different platforms, right? So it'll be the guy telling you you can start a TikTok Shop dropshipping business tomorrow and make $1 million, or a whatnot dropshipping business. I'm calling it right now. I promise this happens in the next 18 months.
Yeah, I could see that happening. 18 months. Yep. It's probably about right. I mean, we know that those platforms are getting a lot of traction now, and we've had live sellers on this on this podcast, and I'm excited about it. I think there's some really cool things about it. But yeah, I can totally see the next round of pimply faced teenagers. This is like AliExpress dropshipping 2.0, for sure. So yeah, brace yourselves for 18-year-olds with mansions and Lambos and, you know, all of the stories. They're coming. Live selling dropshipping. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know, because, you know, we got rid of the de minimis rule, right? I don't think you can dropship from China efficiently anymore. So who's going to be the real winner? It's the person who imports hundreds of different products and becomes the source for you to, hey, use our site to set up whatever you want on TikTok Shop. Then you're the dropshipper on TikTok Shop. Then you get influencers, you know, talking about your product on TikTok Shop, and you're dropshipping. They're dropshipping it. They're essentially affiliate marketing for you, and you're dropshipping it. Look, I actually think this is going to work better, right? So live selling is going to work better than Facebook ads ever did on this stuff, in my opinion. Just people are more engaged. You don't have to stop someone scroll the same way you did on Facebook. People are already into the TikTok Shop is wild. I don't really play on TikTok at all anymore. I stopped in the middle of COVID. I got way too addicting early on, and I was just like, I'm out of here. But like, the little I've looked into it and the way people talk about it on direct-to-consumer Twitter at this point, like, kind of seems like it's going to be the next thing, if you will. I don't know how else to put it, but like, the shopping behavior is real. I think the gurus teach people to utilize that same system in a drop shipping fashion. I just don't know if it'll be from China or how it's going to be set up, but I can just already picture, like you said, somebody standing next to their rented Lambo or showing a screenshot from TikTok Shop, or maybe it's through their Shopify or both somehow, saying, you know, I did $1 million last month on TikTok Shop, or live selling on whatnot, drop shipping products, right? Take my course. Like, I feel like it's inevitable.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. And I think some of those, even some of those, you know, Chinese mass retailer/manufacturer/directories, whatever. I mean, they're all starting warehouses in countries like the US and Australia, right? So like, Temu now has local warehouses, which is obviously to get around the de minimis stuff, I suppose, for example. And so like, I think now you can get those crappy, shitty products just drop shipped from a more local warehouse, at least some of the time. And you would want to think that maybe that continues some more. Yeah, look, it's interesting. I think certainly from talking to people who are successfully live selling now, and this may change over the next 18 months as well, obviously, if it becomes bigger and bigger and more popular, it sort of seems like what's working the best now won't line up that well for somebody who's just got a constant stream and supply of the same products like that. Like, what works now is a lot of urgency. Here's this one product, it's the only one, and you can get it real cheap. Like, grab it now. That's where that impulse comes from, and it's a little harder to manufacture that when you're like, I'm not going to stop selling this product. This is my product, or products. I've got lots of products. Like, how you would kind of like replicate some of the same performance with like, hey, I've got a store that sells pellet grills, and I'm not going to stop selling pellet grills. You know, like, that's my business. Like, how would you live sell that? I mean, I think you could, but like, would you get the same kind of buyer activity that people are getting right now? Does that change? Like, I don't know. That's the bit I have a question about. I totally think I agree with you. I think live selling is going to be a much bigger thing in 18 months time, and more people will be doing it and all of that sort of thing. But it's kind of like, there's a part on the customer side where that becomes more the way that customers just want to buy rather than going to an e-commerce website and seeing stuff. Do you know what I mean? That I don't think is still not quite there yet, but we'll see.
On the whatnot side, you're catching people who are ready for a deal, right? And so, assuming you can give them a good deal, you're going to move it live selling. I think TikTok Shop will be maybe less of the live selling, but more of the you're drop shipping a product, right? It's just like you have a brand, but you're setting it up on TikTok Shop, and then all of the influencers can go create videos, right? I believe I showed you, we had a kid apply for our course. I got on a call with him, and he's making tens of thousands of dollars pouring stuff into it. He's like 17 years old, and he's like pouring stuff into his hair to like make his hair look a straight. Right? His page was massive, right? That is somebody earning on TikTok Shop. And so, that's all you need to do is be like, okay, I can source this product, which I'm going to drop ship to the customer. And now you set yourself up on TikTok Shop, and now you make a couple videos, influencers pick it up, they make a few videos, and now you're printing money drop shipping, right? I do believe that's going to be the next course. Maybe we should just make it right now. Head to dropshipontiktok.com. I don't know. It's not going away. There's going to be more scams, and this just feels like the next scam. And look, it'll work for some people. Dropshipping the AliExpress way worked for some people. Somebody found the hot product and did well, right? But like, you know, 99% of people, I think, are going to have a bad time.
I agree.
But really, if dropshipping's dead, somebody explain Wayfair. Somebody explain why I just launched another store. Somebody explain why the brokers still want to sell these businesses. Make it make sense. It's not dead.
Hey, real quick, while I have you here at the very end of the show, John and I are trying to grow our social media channels. We're also sharing what we're doing from some of these podcasts on the social media. So we'd love to have you follow us. You can find us at Low Bar Podcast on TikTok and on X, and you can find us at Low Bar Pod on Instagram and on Facebook. Of course, all of these will be in the show notes of every episode. So if you could give us a follow, maybe like a few posts. Obviously, we're trying to grow our business too. Thank you so much for listening and following along and helping us grow what John and I are trying to build here.